Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the online message. It's a very privilege for me to share the word today. As Pastor Dale was away, he has entrusted us to share the word, and I pray that we will be blessed. 2 weeks ago, Ruth spoke about the value of community in our breakthrough. She emphasized on how God's work through the people around us to bring healing and deliverance. If you did not watch yet, or you are not part of the service, I encourage you to check on videos and you will see this message. Being part of a community is indeed a blessing. It is within the community that we experience growth, support, and encouragement. Now, today, I will talk about the transformative power of getting closer to Jesus and how it positively affects and impacts our life and the life of those around us. As we draw closer to Jesus, we draw naturally closer to one another. And drawing closer to Jesus not only transforms our life, not only brings positive changes to our life, but also in the life of those around us. As we deepen our relationship with God, we naturally grow closer to one another. And getting closer to Jesus not only transforms our life, but also deepens our understanding of God's love, grace, and purpose. And it is this closeness with Jesus that helps us build stronger relationship and creates a unified and caring community. So to illustrate this, let's consider a triangle. Imagine Jesus at the top point, and we, the member, at the two bottom points. Look, check this. As we move, each of us, closer to Jesus, as we move closer to Jesus, we also move closer to one another, narrowing the gap between us, narrowing the differences between us, narrowing things that set us apart. But because we move closer to Jesus, now we are becoming more similar and more the same because we are getting closer to Jesus. So in order to be effective and to bear more fruit in our community, we need to continually grow closer to Jesus. Why? Because as we draw near to Jesus, we experience transformation, greater peace, and a deeper understanding of who God is. And as we grow in our experience with Jesus, we undergo a significant change, becoming more like Him, in our action and our attitude. You know, as we grow closer to Jesus, our faith grows stronger, enabling us to reflect Christ's love and grace more fully. Each step we take towards Him, toward Jesus, bring about new level of understanding, new level of transformation, and a community building. Now, there is one example. There is one example that we find in the Bible where we see someone experiencing God's grace and the transformative power of getting closer to Jesus. And this story is found in the story of Zacchaeus. Who is Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the Bible said that he's the chief director, he's the chief tax collector. Is the chief tax collector, and he lived in Jericho. As the chief tax collector is not a word that we often use in our days, but the chief tax collector during that time, he was a leader. He was a leader of men who took taxes from people. So he had people who he will send here and there, and those other people will be collecting taxes and report to him. And on his time, he will give a certain amount to the Roman, because at this time, the empire that is ruling is the Roman Empire. So Zacchaeus, as a Jew, as a chief tax collector, he will give a certain amount to the Roman. So he will not give the whole amount. It's usually based on a certain agreed sum of money that they've agreed between the chief tax collector and the Roman Empire. That's why you see that some chief tax collector were very healthy, because as much as you collect, you only have a small amount, a certain amount, a fixed amount that you give to the governor, or you give to the government of the Roman Empire. So nowadays, if we try to look a tax collector, a chief tax collector, we can compare him as the head of local taxation department. This is what you can have an idea of who the chief tax collector is in our days. So we see back to the story that one day in Jericho, there is a news that came and say that Jesus is going to pass through the city. And you know the story, the news about Jesus always brought many people to him. So the story, this news came to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had the desire. He had the desire to see Jesus. He had the desire to see who he is. He had the desire to see who was this man. And we see that Zacchaeus, when Jesus came, Zacchaeus also wanted to see. But there's a problem, because usually when rabbi are walking, they usually gather a lot of people. Jesus was considered as a rabbi. He had many people around, because rabbi, when they walk, they are teaching, they're still teaching, they are disciples and gathering a lot of people. But Zacchaeus had a problem. One problem of Zacchaeus, we will read in the Bible, but it says like Zacchaeus was short. Zacchaeus had a problem, because it was always crowded. It was crowded around. He tried his best because he had a desire to see Jesus. So he tried his best. Then he came up with one plan. The plan he came up with, he said he decided to climb a tree. He decided to climb a tree. A chief tax collector decided to climb a tree. A leader of men decided to climb a tree to see who Jesus is. We read in Luke 19, verse 1 to 4. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus. Here, he tried to get a look. This is says like he had a desire, because the Message version says he wanted desperately to see Jesus. We continue, but he was short. This is the problem, to see over the crowd. But he was short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So Zacchaeus, after deciding to climb a tree, he did not climb any tree. He did not climb any tree. He climbed a tree that he knew that Jesus was going to pass by. This is an act of someone who had a desire, someone who was desperate to see Jesus. I can think about something that what was going on in his mind, what was going on in Zacchaeus' mind, which we can also have. A man like you, a leader like you, climbing a tree. A leader of men climbing a tree. What if the tree break? What if there is a problem? What if the people start shouting at you? But we see that Zacchaeus, he did not even give any thought to that. He said, I am going to climb a tree. We see here a desire that has led him to act a certain way. And we see that while Jesus was passing, he noticed Zacchaeus. He noticed Zacchaeus and he responded positively to Zacchaeus' effort. Because he said in the following verse 5, he said, like, when Jesus came to the tree, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. We see here that Jesus even know Zacchaeus' name. Jesus know Zacchaeus' name. Before this time, they don't know each other. Zacchaeus doesn't know. They've never met. But we know that Jesus knows Zacchaeus by his name. He said, come down, for I'm going to be a guest in your home today. You see that Jesus responded to Zacchaeus' effort by coming closer to him. Jesus responded to Zacchaeus' effort. And we see that Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew about his name, which is also saying today, like, Jesus know my name. Jesus know your name. Jesus know about everything about you. This is what we read here. By Jesus calling Zacchaeus to come down, and he said that today I must stay in your home. Today I must stay in your home. Jesus is saying, while your height was a disadvantage, while the crowd was a disadvantage, while you could not see me and you made this effort to climb a tree, you were pushed here and there. But Zacchaeus, I notice you. Zacchaeus, I see you. Zacchaeus, you matter to me. So the whole plan of Jesus coming to Jericho was also to meet this man, Zacchaeus. Jesus is saying, I see you. You have my full attention, Zacchaeus. And I'm going to be a guest in your home today. And we see that after that call, Jesus calling Zacchaeus to come down, Zacchaeus responded with obedience. Zacchaeus quickly said yes. Quickly said yes. He said yes to that call. Why? Because we see that he immediately climbed down. He climbed down. And we see that he received Jesus joyfully. He did not make any excuse. He did not ask any questions. Like, why are you coming? For what reason? Can you book a certain time to come? Can you come tomorrow? But he responded immediately. He received Jesus joyfully without making any excuses. He obeyed. And we see that as Zacchaeus came closer to Jesus, we see that it resulted in a changed life. We see that the life of Zacchaeus is totally changed. He's totally a new person. He is a new person. He is a changed person. And we see that he is transformed for the better. There is four elements that we see how Zacchaeus is transformed. Four elements. Element number one, we see a transformation in Zacchaeus. We see that he is saved. We see that Zacchaeus is saved. He's saved because Jesus is actually saying in verse 9, he says, like, Jesus said, today is the day for this family to be saved from sin. So we see that this is a person who, as he came closer to Jesus, as Jesus came closer to him, we see that this person is changed. This person is saved. And we see that as you draw near to Jesus, you experience the salvation that Jesus brings. We experience the salvation that Jesus brings. We see element number two, that he is selflessly generous. He's selflessly generous. He decided to give half of his wealth to the poor. This is another act of a changed person. We see selfless generous. We see selfless generosity. And we see that receiving love from Jesus led him to show love around him. He received love from Jesus and now is giving away that love. You can only give what you have received from God. You can only give what you have received from God. And element number three, we see that he is changed in perception. He is changed in perception. Because this person, this Zacchaeus, before, prior this time, is a person who has a mind of getting more wealth. Getting more wealth. Having more money. Making more. Benefiting more for him. But we see that after getting closer to Jesus, after getting closer to the Savior, he is changing perception. We see that he is giving half of his possession. He is learning a new principle. He has learned a new principle. And we read Hebrews 13:16 is even saying, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. He's learning this principle. These are the sacrifice that pleases God. These are the sacrifices that please God. So he's learning new principle. He's learning a new principle after coming closer to Jesus. And we see that his change in attitude and action. How? We see that he said that he wants to repay fourfold of all the people he wronged in the past. He wanted to repay fourfold. This is a person who's going through transformation. The person who's transformed. And we see that he's turning from idols. His idols before this time, his idols was reputation, was money, was these things of getting more. That was his idol. Just like today, your idol could be work, family, or this, or money, or career. But for Zacchaeus, was more about making more. But he's turning away. Why? Because he has met Jesus. He is coming closer. He is near Jesus. So we see that Zacchaeus is totally changed for the better. As we draw near to Jesus, we experience the transformation that Jesus brings. Let me give you one thing. One thing that will help you and me, to get closer to Jesus, one thing that will help you and me on getting closer, taking a step each and every day, day by day, one thing that will help us, you and me, to keep on getting closer to Jesus. And Mary has something to say about that. Mary, the mother of Jesus. In fact, this is the only recorded instruction that we've received and we read in the Bible that Mary gave. And I believe that today in Shanghai, China, in SCF, Mary is also giving us this instruction. Mary is telling us getting closer to Jesus requires you to do this each and every day in order for you to get closer to Jesus. Remember, getting closer to Jesus is not a one-time thing. It's a process. It's a growth, and growth happens over time. Mary has something to say. When you get near to Jesus, when you are getting near to Jesus, you do one thing. And this is what she said. The one thing you do when you are getting closer to Jesus, or when you are drawing near to him, you do whatever he tells you to do. You might be asking, where do you find this part? It's found in the book of John. John chapter 2, verse 5. We read, his mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. This is the only recorded instruction that we see and we read in the Bible that Mary has given. I think it's very strategic and is very important for us as believers to know. So Mary is saying one thing, if you want to continue into these things, if you want to continue into this journey, you need to know, you do whatever he tells you to do. And this is taken from a story where Jesus, the disciple, and Mary are invited at the wedding. You know, me, I pretty much like weddings. I like wedding. I like to attend. I like to serve. I like to see. I like to hear about things about marriage and wedding. I like, because it's a beautiful thing. I think those are places where you see everyone is happy. Everyone is happy to see how two people come together. So they were invited at the wedding. Jesus was invited at the wedding. You know, during this time, in that part of the world, wedding lasted for 7 days. It's not like here where we have 1 day or 2 days. But this part of the world, during this time, they celebrated the wedding for 7 days. Monday party, Tuesday party, Wednesday party, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday party, every day. For the whole week, they were celebrating the coming together of two people. So it was a good thing. But there came a problem at that wedding. Half of the time, few days after the wedding started, there was a shortage of the drink. And the drink here in this part of the world, in this culture, was wine. So there was not enough wine. And the news came to Mary. You know, the wine for this part of the world was just like here in Shanghai. I don't know where you are watching us today, but here in Shanghai, it's a tradition. You see many coffee shops. It's like, so wine was like a coffee in Shanghai. Was like Americano, was like matcha, was like espresso in Shanghai. This was what was custom to them. So Mary got that news. Mary got that news of that problem. And Mary, because she knew about Jesus, she believed and she knew that to every problem, the solution is Jesus. To every problem, the solution is Jesus. And that's what she did. And this is what she said. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him who? Jesus. And this is what she says. They don't have any wine. To this Mary saying, Jesus replied, woman. Here, don't misunderstand. Woman's, in this part, it means mom or mother. What does that have to do with me? Jesus answered. My time hasn't come yet. Jesus is saying here that this is not my time yet. My time has not come yet. And by my time has not come yet, it means that my time to act and to be revealed has not come yet. But Mary knew that to every problem, the solution is Jesus. I think this today, as I am speaking to you and I, let's know that to every problem, the solution is Jesus. But his mother, we continue in verse 5, but his mother told the servant, back again to what she said, do whatever he tells you. And she's telling who? She's telling the servant. Telling the servants that do whatever he tells you to do. And we see, fast forward, that the servant followed everything that Mary told them. They went to Jesus and they listened, they followed everything he told them. And he told them to fill the water jar with water. We read, Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw now some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And we see here that this was the instruction that Jesus gave them. And it's the verse ended and said that they did so. They followed everything that Jesus told them. They followed what Mary told them, and they followed everything that Jesus told them. And we see the result. We see that it resulted in the water being changed into wine, something that nobody could imagine. But obedience has made that possible. The servants were obedient. They did not ask any question. They did not even have excuses. But they followed. Obedience brought a miracle. Obedience brought a miracle. This is what he's saying. When Jesus tells you to do something, do it anyway. Do it anyway. It doesn't make sense. It's not familiar. You are not comfortable. There's no logic. How can water be changed into wine? I mean, we are asking for wine, and this man is telling us to fetch water. Even when it's not making sense, do it anyway, because of the person who says, Jesus is saying to you, do whatever I tell you. So we see that this obedience brought about this miracle. And we see that the problem was solved. The problem was solved. This is what Jesus can do. We continue in verse 9 and 10. When the master of ceremony tasted the wine, that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew. The servants, they knew about the whole story. They knew. I can guess when the master of the ceremony is drinking, someone is saying like, "Oh, but we fetch water. What are we expecting?" But they knew. He called the bridegroom over, and this is what he says. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." The master of ceremony is telling the bridegroom that you have kept the best for later. Not knowing what was going on. This one thing that I learned here, that the best wine, the best drink is Jesus who has the best drink. You are looking, you are thirsty, you are thirsty, you are thirsty. Jesus has the best drink for you and me. To your problem, Jesus has the best drink. To your challenges, to your worries, Jesus has the best drink. Just come a little closer to Jesus and you will experience the best drink. So this story, from here you will see, like, what was the purpose? Was it only about the wine? Was it only about changing water into wine? Verse 11 has the end result, the best result, the goal of Jesus turning water into wine. He says that Jesus performed this miracle, the first of his sign in Cana of Galilee. They did not know how this happened. The people, the servants, the disciples, they did not know how this happened. But when the disciples and the servant witnessed this miracle, when the disciple and the servant, because they were in the middle of the whole situation, when they witnessed this miracle, the Bible says that their faith blossomed. Their faith blossomed. This was the purpose of this miracle. Because as you get closer to Jesus, your faith blossomed, your faith developed, your faith matured, your faith become, your faith increase. This is the end result of this miracle. Because as you get closer to Jesus, you see transformation, you see a change. And the Bible says like their faith blossom. Their faith blossom. This miracle increased their faith. The more you do whatever Jesus tells you to do, the more we see his hand at work in our life. The more we do whatever, the more I do, the more you do whatever he tells you to do, the more you see his hands in your life. The more you see his hands at work in your life. So, let me give you four roadblocks to coming closer to Jesus. What is limiting you and I to make decision to do whatever Jesus say? What is limit? What are the limitation? What are the things, the reasons why you can't get closer to him? What are the reasons I can't get closer to Jesus? Four things, four roadblocks. You know, roadblocks are really blocks that do not allow you to go through the road. So these are the four roadblocks. You have indecision, you have inaction, distraction, and convenience. Let me talk a little about that. You know, indecision, at the root of indecision is fear. Fear will lead you to indecision. Indecision will limit you to do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And it will limit you from getting closer to Jesus. Zacchaeus might ask himself, just back into the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus might ask himself, what will people think if I go to Jesus? What will people think if I go to see Jesus? What will people think if I go closer to Jesus? And even the servants might have this question, which could lead them into indecision of not even doing that. What will happen if the guests realize that it's not wine, it's water? How will be my job? What will I do? This could be the question that you ask yourself. And these are the questions that lead you to indecision. You know, Jesus, I tell you something. You just say, let me think about it. You know, let me just think about it. Jesus is telling you to do something, to let go of something, to follow this certain path. But you say, like, let me just think about it. Do not just think about it. Do it. Do what he says. And have faith. Number two, inaction. Inaction, it's a reason. It's a reason of not getting closer to Jesus. Because you are stuck. You are not moving. While Jesus is saying, go this way, do this, let go of something. But you are just inactive. And you know, some people who are inactive, you know, they just talk about it. Just talk about something that God has told them, but they don't act on it. That is also an expression, an act of inaction. And number three is a distraction. Distraction, we cannot say so many things. Distraction will lead you to not following what God has told you to do. You get distracted by life, get distracted by work, get distracted by many things, which could be good, but you get distracted. You lead yourself to be distracted by that and not following what Jesus is telling you to do. Number four is convenience. Convenience is a reason, is a roadblock that will limit you from getting closer to Jesus, because you want to do things only when it's convenient for you to do. You want to go only when it's convenient to go. You want to live give away, leave a certain path only when it's convenient to, for you to do. Convenience is also a roadblock for you and I to experience this transformation. So what do? Instead of being indecisive, inactive, distracted, and convenient, seeking convenience, do this instead. When Jesus tells you to do something, do it cheerfully. Do it exactly and do it instantly. Do it cheerfully with joy. Be joyful when Jesus asks you to do something. Do it exactly. Just the way he said. Don't do like here in China we'll say, don't do it chabudo, almost. Almost similar, something similar. Something looking like, this is maybe what Jesus is saying. Don't do the almost, the chabudo. Do it exactly as he said. And do it instantly, just as Zacchaeus did. He came down instantly. We see that the servant observed, they followed instantly what Jesus told them. And we see the result that has come. And by doing that, by doing what Jesus said cheerfully, exactly and instantly, we will see transformation. We will see growth in our faith. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. It is very important that whatever Jesus is saying to you and me today, whatever Jesus has been speaking to you, even as I'm talking now, Jesus is saying something to you. It is important that we do it cheerfully, exactly what he says, and instantly. It is important. It's by doing that that we experience growth. It's by doing that that we experience peace, because Zacchaeus became a person of peace. The servants, they experienced a certain joy that they've never experienced before. So it is important that do not only listen, do not just think about it, do not just talk about it, do not just seeking for a time that is convenient for you to do. Do what he says. Do what he say, just what he said. It is very important. So as we wrap up, getting closer to Jesus is a process. Getting closer is a step that we take each and every day. And the step that you are taking is doing whatever Jesus, God tells us to do. God tells you to do. That's the step that you are taking each and every day. So it is important. And Jesus is saying, he's speaking to you and me now, that don't allow indecision in your life. Don't allow inaction in your life. Don't allow distraction to direct you from the wrong path that Jesus wanted you to go. And don't seek convenience every time. Don't seek convenience. Instead, whatever Jesus is telling you, whatever Jesus is telling you to let go, to give away, to follow, to listen, to do it cheerfully. Do it exactly. Do it instantly. So what is Jesus asking you to do? What is Jesus, God, asking you to do? Whatever he tells you. What is he asking you to do today? What is he asking you to do? What is he asking you to follow? What is he asking you to let go? What is he asking you to surrender? And even as I'm talking now, you are listening to something. The Spirit is telling you. God is speaking to you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you that God will help us. God will help you, you and me, to do whatever he tells us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, We thank you so much. We thank you so much that you are a good God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your love. Express that even in the story of Zacchaeus, someone that did not know you, someone you went to seek to look for him. Thank you so much for what you are still doing today. Thank you for reminding us that the way to getting closer to you is by doing whatever you tell us to do. Father God, I want to pray for those who are listening, those who are watching us today. We pray that, God, may you help us. Holy Spirit, help us to do whatever the Father, whatever Jesus tells us to do. It is not easy. And I'm even speaking for those who are right now who have something to let go, something to surrender, something to do that you have asked them to do, God. I pray that may you give them the grace to do that. We love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen.